here has many possessions. I know I do. These days, I am preparing for a move to Orange County for my first call to be the curate at Christ Church in Warwick. I look at my belongings. My belongings. The things that belong to me. And I remember. I remember the college breaks that I spent in Dehesha Refugee Camp, Bethlehem, with an honorary family. When I lived in the girls' room with my three honorary sisters, I had one shelf in the wardrobe for my things, for my belongings, the things that belong to me. And under my mattress went the one private space I had, my journal. I wrote it in English and in cursive, so no one knew if they opened it. And that was enough. Here in the US, I come from old money on my mother's side and working class from New Jersey on my father's side. My parents and grandmother, wrestling with their own addictions and chronic illnesses, often showed their love to me through giving me money. As an only child and the first granddaughter, I got to have a lot of the money that came in. Especially when showing affection and showing up was often not possible for them. In my honorary family, the Hamashes, we were always gathering around a shared meal, dipping our bread in the same dish. We were always kissing each other on the cheeks, putting our arms around each other, and holding hands. I was perfectly content to limit my things, Iradi in Arabic, to one shelf in the wardrobe, to my house shoes slipped on at the door, my babuj that I was made to purchase my first week. They took me into the city center of Bethlehem, and I had my very first try at haggling. I tried to do my Armenian grandmother proud, and I think I haggled it down from 15 to 8 shekels. I was told, you need to walk away a bit, but I really wanted, there are these purple platformy shoes that were like jellies. They were great. They were, not only were they practical, because you could walk on like the wet bathroom floor with them, but like, they were a little bit cute. And at one point, once my Arabic got good enough, there was this song that was going around at the time in like the early aughts that told the story of a house party that these brothers had. And the theme was Ummi and Zafra, which means my mom's traveling. And I would come in sometimes and not see my house slippers. And so I would yell at my sisters. I'd be like, Babuji and Zafra, which is like, my slippers are traveling. Where have they gone? We had some fun times with my babuj. Babuj is also a great word. Just, you guys should learn this word. In Egyptian, it's shipship, which is really onomatopoeic for flip-flop. Anyway, so I have to admit, though this isn't a totally black and white picture, that like it wasn't totally like I felt completely and totally loved unequivocally in a Palestinian family system whose values were around the well-being of everybody's bodies versus having a hard time being loved in my own WASPy family system where a lot of the care was done through money. There was problems and dysfunction in my honorary family, and there was a lot of love in my family of origin as well, but I had to learn to feel it through our WASPy coldness. But with this caveat, I do think Jesus' point about the camel and the eye of a literal needle has something to say here. And this wasn't like this should be taken literally. My notes for my Jewish New Testament say that in the Talmud, there is an example of the same sort of thing. Like, it is impossible for a rich person to enter the kingdom, to enter this good space, as impossible it is for an elephant to go through the eye of a needle. Just like choose another big animal. The point is, like, it isn't, like, our teachers are saying this is an impossible thing. But why? Why is it impossible if you have a lot of possessions, if you center your life around having possessions? So in order to have possessions, we need to have some sort of a social and spiritual break. Walk with me here. Theologian Willie James Jennings describes how Christianity was put in the service of colonization in his book, The Christian Imagination, Theology and the Origins of Race. He describes how Europeans and European-descended people broke people from their land, enslaving kidnapped Africans and calling them black, not knowing them for what people or village or river bend they were from. By claiming land was possessible, Europeans and their descendants could not see how the original humans from Turtle Island were a part of this land and how it is a part of them. Europeans and their descendants enslaved indigenous people and then tried a host of techniques to erase them, from burning their villages to the ground, to starvation, to residential schools. And a key goal in all of this was separating the people from the land that they belonged to, from the land that they were a part of. By claiming that land, water, and even air, we sell air rights in New York City, is ownable. The air that's in our lungs? Like, what? And so when I read this book, The Christian Imagination, which I do not have time to do justice to here, I realized two things that helped me love myself better. First of all, regardless of who our ancestors are, we all have a deep desire to belong, not just to a people, but to a place. To feel the seasons of your home in your bones. And second, I realized that my European ancestors, by the time they did the violence of breaking Africans and Turtle Islanders from their places, that this violence of breaking people apart from places, saying that the earth is a thing like money that can change hands, that can be bought and sold and compared to other parts of the earth and valued differently, that this violence had already been done to my people time and time again. Children are not born trading stocks. On the contrary, children see the whole world as alive. And here's the thing about having possessions and the kingdom of heaven. To have wealth, money, possessions necessitates engaging in a system that uses money. And money is simply a representation of value that is detached from any community or place. Money is a movable representation of value that's unconnected to belonging. When one places value, more value, on things over beings, on things over belonging, the kingdom can never truly come. I need to confess to you that I'm truly afraid to truly follow Jesus and give away all my money and possessions, because I am afraid that if I did, who would take care of me here in the U.S.? It's in my family's culture to hire caregivers and nannies. In her book, All About Love, Bell Hooks writes that, quote, "Fear is the primary force upholding structures of domination. It promotes the desire for separation, the desire not to be known. When we are taught that safety lies always with sameness, then difference of any kind will appear as a threat. When we choose to love, we choose to move against fear, against alienation and separation. The choice to love is a choice to connect, to find ourselves in the other." And that, Lydians, is why Jesus is always saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right here. The kingdom of heaven is not in my copious library or my prized collection of Lucuses, although maybe when I negotiate with Jesus, it is found when I cook with my friends and when we are silly around the dinner table. But I definitely didn't need to cook for them in my beautiful Le Creuset's. The kingdom of heaven isn't found in fancy cookware. It is found in feeding people. It is found in letting oneself be fed. The kingdom of heaven is right here when we choose to love. That is, when we choose to find ourselves in one another.